I mean, there's some things that guys are really good at, and that's what I tell them. You go, if you're really good at machinery, you go do that. But on the fertility side and the seeding side, if that's something you're struggling with, turn that over to somebody. That doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money to get that done. Just being willing to listen to your trusted advisor is probably what I've seen the biggest thing. Guys are willing to do that. We're pushing yield.
Welcome to Around the Farm. And hey, this is the podcast about all things ag. And Julie, what are we doing? It's a little different than normal. What are we doing today?
Yeah, so for those of you watching the vidcast, you may notice that we're in a studio today. And so we're trying out some new formats with Around the Farm, podcast about all things ag. And we decided that what a better format to do it than get us on the microphone face to face.
That's right. And this is great. And I think today we want to touch on planting. It's right around the corner. Innovation in planting. All things planting in the next few months. What do you got, Julie?
So, you know, with FieldView, you can turn every plot into a test plot. And when we're deciding, putting together our plan for where we're going to go in the field, what kind of products we're going to trial, it's a good idea to decide, how do you decide? So this week, we had some conversations with a couple of different stakeholders. We spoke to a farmer and we spoke to a seeds pro about what kind of innovations they see and how they approach this challenge. So what we're going to talk about today is, where do you start when you're deciding what you're going to change up this
year? That's right. That's right. And hey, some folks might be rolling soon down south. We 60 degrees-ish here in St. Louis today, which is crazy. But then you got a foot of snow in New York and other areas in the Northeast. So weather is all over the place right now. But planting for some is probably weeks away, others maybe a month or two away. We're getting there. So let's talk about Brad first. What did we dive into and learn when chatting with him?
So you were able to sit down with Brad and have that conversation. So he's a Channel Seed Pro, and I know that he's involved in his community, right? What was it, like a buck of every bag he sells?
He donates back.
Yeah, yes. To charities. So yeah, let's go ahead and hear from Brad.
Brad Veal, Channel Seed Pro here in Northwest Missouri. We've been with Channel since about 2014. I've been in the seed industry since 2001. So my wife and I, we run this business, and we also carry precision planting and a few other biologicals we sell. I have one full-time employee, Tyson Morrison. He's out actually working on a sprayer right now. We have three kids. 11, 11, and 4. We love what we're doing. Love being with Channel and Bear. It's been a really good fit. I guess this is our 10th selling season. Come to think about it. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
So it's safe to say that after 10 selling seasons, Brad sees a lot of the emerging trends going on in the field.
He does. And shout out to Brad again for joining us. And thanks for taking the time. Precision planting seller, Channel Seed Pro. He does an excellent job partnering with his customers and really diving into variable rate nitrogen stabilizer, which was something a little bit new to me, learning about his methods and how he's partnering with customers to do it. Very interesting. And as we think of planting innovation, definitely a leader in the brand for Channel, and excited to see what he does moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he explained to us a little bit about how that application and prescription process goes.
That's right. And utilizing that prescription on that anhydrous bar and being able to adjust in field was pretty interesting. I'd love to see it more in person, and maybe we can get them, you know, we should talk about getting out there with them and doing something live to see how it's actually done versus him just telling us over a video.
Obviously, there's parts in the farm that you're going to be losing more nitrogen than others. Some places on the farm, you probably don't lose any, and you don't need that stabilizer. Just like variable rate seeding, we've had that for a long time, and we see the benefit of changing that rate as we go across the farm. And whether it just comes down to just saving on the input itself, or by reducing or increasing that input can increase yield. The nitrogen stabilizer is something that we just haven't really dug into. It's becoming more popular. I'm working with another company, agronomic company, that my customers introduced me to here about 3 years ago, and I've become more working with them here just recently within the last 3 years. And I've just watched as growers work closely with this company, their yields have continued to increase, and it helps me be a better seedsman, seed pro, knowing the products and knowing the grower's operation better. But they brought into this concept about the nitrogen loss across your field, and their software can actually analyze your farm and tell you where your highest amount of nitrogen loss is. And then they'll turn that around and they'll write a prescription for the nitrogen stabilizer. So of course this requires you have to have another piece of equipment on your, this is just talking about anhydrous, on your anhydrous bar, you have to have a direct injection system. And you have to have a monitor to be able to run that. So it'd be running two products. It'd be running anhydrous as well as this nitrogen stabilizer. But it would increase and decrease the rate as you go across the field based upon the need of the farm and where the highest nitrogen loss is. So it's using your inputs very efficiently.
Yep.
And you're going to see yield increase in those places where you just can't seem to get much of a bump because it's wet.
When we're talking about variable rate nitrogen application, what kind of impact does that have on how much is actually going into the field?
Yeah, no, it depends on the time of the season and the farm itself. I mean, Brad's in western Missouri and a lot of variable rate soil types across Missouri. He definitely has contours. We know that when we talk to him, poking fun with him there. But, you know, he reported it wasn't a large net change in how much is applied overall. So, again, I think that's just an interesting way to look at it. It could be different, too, depending on what region you're in, Missouri versus Illinois, right? That's especially northern Illinois. You get very different soil profiles. And it'd be great to interview others that are participating in trying this innovation to learn what their methods are if you're exploring, when you're exploring nitrogen and you're exploring scripts, et cetera, on maybe one soil type versus six soil types.
Yeah, and that's kind of the beauty of having a prescription, right? It analyzes that's the right soil, what's going on, and where you're losing the most nitrogen, and where you want to level up or increase the amount that you're applying. So that's really the benefit of doing this, is it's not a blanket solution, right? You're really tailoring where you're allocating your resources. And the goal, of course, is to see that outcome in the bushels.
That's right. And I think in one of the parts of our conversation, I believe I asked him, hey, you know, do you see yourself utilizing more N when you're running a script, or is it less, or is it about the same? You're just applying it in specific areas. And I think he said a little less overall, and just being able to strategically place nitrogen throughout the field. It's just very fascinating to see where the innovation's going.
Using those digital tools and knowing where to use them, it doesn't necessarily change the overall bottom line of how much nitrogen that you're applying, but it does give you that opportunity to more strategically allocate it.
You bet.
I think what we've seen so far is the same or less. I don't think we're going to see a lot of spots where it's, I mean, it's going to depend on the farm, of course.
Sure.
I mean, if it's a wet bottom, the whole farm's wet, we're probably going to be using more of it. But if it's a rolling farm, you're probably going to be the same or less.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to vary completely on the farm. I mean, we definitely have seepy side hills where we're losing nitrogen, those places we're going to be raising that rate of that stabilizer. But it's not going to change your balance sheet much.
Yep, makes sense.
It's not going to be a huge increase or decrease. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of difference in what you're spending on nitrogen stabilizers. The goal is we're just going to bring in more bushels.
The idea of variable rate nitrogen is an interesting concept, and it's something that I think is worth investigation to decide if it's a direction that a farmer wants to try. But it might not be the right solution this season for every grower in every region.
That's right. And there's so many other tools out there and other ways digitally to enable your farm. And, you know, considering looking into plots or trials, you know, breaking out your field, whether it's just in a way you've always done it, where you just have, maybe it's just a side-by-side and you got two products, or maybe you're doing 7-8 products on that 80-acre field and you're really going to dive into the data on how those products are going to perform.
Yeah, and so this brings me back to a conversation that I had with Jerry Sunchins. So listeners might recall Jerry. He was on episode 53. He's in Kingsley, Iowa. And I wanted to catch up with him because he's a leader in trying new things, really experimenting and turning, you know, his plots into data that he can mine.
And I think the thing that he does really well is he treats every field like a test plot. And using field view, that's a really easy way to do it, right? Collect the data, enter in your products. Data quality is important there, so make sure you enter in those products right. But you can really dive into the nitty-gritty on how products are going to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he uses it as a tool to measure how his tests perform.
You know, I want to learn every year. I want to do better than the best of last year. Just keep on getting better at it. And so, yeah, I'm always in the simplicity of it. You can do that. I mean, I can track it very easily through Field View, run prescriptions, see what works, what doesn't work. I'm going across the field anyway. It doesn't take any more time or less time to do it. So, every acre is pretty much a test for me anyway, and try to get better.
So like I mentioned, I followed up with Jerry this week to see how he decides what he's going to test.
Yep, the method to his madness. What's he got?
Yeah, so Jerry very much leverages his relationships, the experts he works with, as well as the data that he gathers to identify those rooms for improvement. And he told me that he consults and shares insights with a group of like-minded local farmers.
That's great, a peer group mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. Just leveraging what the folks in your area that might have similar soil conditions, similar crops, what they're seeing, and using that to kind of inform the areas that they want to explore and maybe divvy up, hey, I know that Sam's doing that, or I know Jake's doing that. So we'll have some kind of learnings at the end of the season to inform what we're going to investigate next season. So they're able to compare notes on what worked and what didn't, and they're able to pull those results and learn from their successes and failures. And a good example of that on A Farmer's Journey, the series that we had Jerry on, he had his coworker, his peer, Mitch Moritz. And Moritz runs soil analysis, and they are able to work together to review that soil analysis to decide what kind of trials they're going to do.
If you haven't caught A Farmer's Journey, click that link right up here.
Check that one out. But yeah, absolutely. So it's about, you know, leveraging those experts that you work with, those trusted advisors.
You bet. And Brad's done something really similar with trusted advisors and those partnerships as well. A little bit different, but it'll be interesting as we jump into what his take on it is and how he's partnering with the trusted advisors moving forward.
The next step is being willing to listen to trusted advisors. I think of one fellow that's a good friend and customer of mine that he understands he doesn't know it all. He's really good at what he does. And he knows more than what he says he does. I know he does, but he's very humble.
Humbly.
Yep. And he's willing to listen to the guys he has. He likes to assimilate a team. He is willing to sit down with that team. And I'm not just saying he's just turning the keys over, but in a little bit of that respect, he is. Uh-huh. Which I know it takes a lot of trust because we're spending a lot of his money. We're talking $800 to $1,000 an acre to put in an acre of corn. Put that on very many acres and you spend a lot of money. So
that's right.
That's what I've seen, the guys who are willing to do that and not try to hold things in and second guess and being willing to turn that over to whether it's the seed selection or the fertilizer or your inputs. I mean, there's some things that guys are really good at. And that's what I tell them. You go, if you're really good at machinery and, you know, taking care of that side of it, you go do that. But on the fertility side and the seeding side, if that's something you're struggling with, turn that over to somebody. And that doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money to get that done. But just being willing to listen to your trusted advisors is probably what I've seen the biggest thing, guys. If you're willing to do that, we're pushing yield. And it's more than paying back.
It's all about assembling that A team and bringing those trusted advisors together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, identifying the right movers and then putting them in the right place in order to further the objectives on your farm.
That's right. And really to sum it up, you know, utilizing Field View to drive decisions on farm, using that data to make those decisions, place products. We've heard a lot of really unique discussions today. And I mean, the nitrogen piece alone too, really, really exciting to hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, trying to figure out who in your peer network or your trusted advisors have those results and then be able to work together to analyze and put those things into place.
That's right. And then looking at new technology too, like back to nitrogen stabilizer scripts, just again, something different, trying new things, determining how products are going to perform. And, you know, could you find another 5 or 10 bushel doing some of these new methods? It's all about learning and discovery and seeing what works best for you on your farm.
Absolutely. And maybe it's on a smaller scale, maybe it's on a larger scale. But the thing is, right now, when you're getting out in the planter, when you're making that decision of where you're going to hit first, it's a good time to decide, are you going to be trying something new and developing that plan to making sure that you've got your hypothesis in place. You know, you know how you're going to approach it and you know how you're going to decide what success looks like.
Absolutely. And hey, whatever you're trying out there, and hopefully you're innovating on farm, I'm sure many of you are, but whatever you're trying out there, always do stay safe this time of year, especially with equipment running around. But Julie, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, no, I think that's good for today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
I wanted to say thank you to both our guests and our listeners for joining us today.
And if you liked what you heard, subscribe anywhere where you get podcasts.
And while we're discussing the spirit of innovation, if you liked this new format or you see rooms for improvement, go ahead and leave us a comment on our YouTube channel.
And we'll see you around the farm.